Isn't it something about your flesh? You tell it no, it says yes. Almost no matter what you tell it to, you can't do that. Yes, I can. But I mean, it really starts young. You're five times the size of a child, and you say no, and they just belligerently look up at you and say, yes. You're thinking, boy, where'd that come from? I was born with it. They have to get it born again out of them. Then you carry this flesh around that belonged to the wrong Adam. That's the whole reason there's a reward. He left you here amongst the thistles and the thorns as wheat for harvest. He said, we'll gather them all together. We'll sort it out later and then burn the thorns. Did you ever notice that your body, sometimes it doesn't want to cooperate? If you haven't noticed that, you need to be teaching. Has anybody ever noticed that? It's something that you look in a mirror, and if you're apt to living in fear and that kind of things, then your fear will keep increasing as your terminating date gets closer. You look in the mirror and you swear up and down, they changed the mirror. The mirrors are not what they used to be. Yet we get to pass through our generations and affect them and make a difference, and we finish our weight with Him. What's wrong with that? Hallelujah. If you find out there's not a thing wrong with that, then you're quicker to go into where people jump out from behind bushes with machetes. Are you a missionary? Yes, I'm going to kill you. And they said, now wait a minute. Just hold it now. I've got to reconsider whether I'm called out here or not. Hallelujah. Peace encompasses all of that. Hallelujah. Peace that's not of this world. I just love it. I just love it. I even like the conversations I have with the devil now. He talks, I insult. He talks, I laugh. When I'm rolling on the floor, can't hardly get up, I'm laughing so hard. The devil says, is it something I said? No, I said, no, it's your whole approach. Is the joy of the Lord really your strength, or is that theory? He lost his young wife. They analyzed his tears, and there was an agent in them that promoted death. I mean, it actually promoted the man's death. Well, then the young gal, when she wins a beauty pageant, and they captured her tears, and there's an agent in them that actually promoted life. You mean my state of being has that much to do with it? I even heard a worldly counselor counseling people under therapy coming out from under cancer. And he says it's your own fault. Why did you hate that person so bad that you started shutting your immune system down? They said you're doing that to your own immune system. You're going to have to get out from under the hate. Even the world. Even they know something about it. Well, just think of a new born-again nature feeding that soul of yours, teaching you about God and confidence and the peace that's not of this world. I mean, what could you do? I found out after freeing my mind from worry, anticipation of wrong things, quit carrying things that I shouldn't. I'm not talking about not taking responsibility. For if you take the wrong kind of care, you can't take responsibility, because the reason you have care, because you believe everything can fail. But when you don't take the failure of something for the lack of God showing up, then you can truly take responsibility. Hallelujah. Well, the way I feel now is how I'm placing future events. If I'm afraid of disease and failure and lack, then it'll affect me now. If I'm not afraid of it, hello, Mr. Calmness, peace that I'd like to slap. Hallelujah. Yeah, when somebody's standing 10 feet away with a gun saying, I'm going to kill you, and you're going, boy, all of a sudden, your emotions act up, your body goes crazy. In fact, so much power can come out of your body that it can shut your heart down. You can fall down dead, and that all come from within inside. I mean, you generated all of that from the inside of yourself. Now, grant you, he's standing there with a gun, but he didn't touch you. He didn't shoot. Nobody came across. Nobody grabbed you. I mean, this all came from inside of you. It can just shut you down, have a heart attack, and fall down on the floor, and nobody touched you. And if your body can generate all of that negative under those circumstances, what could it do if somebody was standing off and said, I'd like to give you a couple of billion and then usher you through to heaven? Boy, you'd just go through the roof, cancer would fall off your body and everything. How are you going to fix your mind? The renewing of your mind, being transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Remember the transformers that used to hang on the telephone poles? You don't see them. They've got them housed somewhere or something now. You know, the electric would come in one voltage and be transformed to another. And the transforming of your mind. See, actually to change totally its output. Transformation of the soul. Renewing of the mind. In the transformation of the soul, I found my most admirable enemy most of the time was the emotion. They say the most powerful attribute of the soul is will. Well, the will can really be challenged by the emotion. And most of the time, our willful decisions, if it's not just absolutely life and death, are a whole lot weaker than your emotion. Can anybody tell me about New Year's resolutions? If nothing is imminent, like death or something, from an immediate no change, most of the time the will's not enough. It's not enough to overcome the emotion. But I found emotion to be a real admirable foe. You know what else I found out about emotion? I found out when it's transformed, it serves you instead of fighting you. I know how not to operate nor let the wrong kind operate against me. I've given my emotions enough baths in transformation liquid that mostly they only activate themselves for good things. And they're not allowed to speak out about the other. I can make you do it, you and who else? In the leadership of the Spirit, mostly the ground you hear the inner witness in is calm ground. It's hard to hear a witness inside that witnesses to a right direction with peace when your whole world is flying apart. God is saying, hey, I can't get close enough to give you an inner witness of all those rocks flying. One of the first big steps to the leadership of the Spirit, really hearing His voice, is cultivate your ground with peace. Somebody asked me about direction. How can I hear God? How do I know what He wants me to do? How do I know where He wants me to go? He said, do you know most of the time when somebody tells you that they're going to do something or go somewhere that's wrong? Sometimes I know a little about it. Sometimes quite a bit. Sometimes I know exactly what's going to happen. There's a few things that I judge all first steps by. The leadership, no leadership. And that's whether it's taken you out of the Word and out of the walk of the Spirit or in. In Romans 8, he talked about the leadership of the Spirit. And he says, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So that's all one thought. So if he's leading you, how's he going to lead you to a place where they're not mortifying the deeds of the body? If you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. So in the leadership of the Spirit, he's leading you out of a walk dominated by flesh and into a walk of the Spirit. If this is the case, how is he going to lead you, O weakling one, to a place where they're walking into the flesh and not out?
Well, he told me to go over here.
No, he didn't. You're weaker than they are.
Well, I'm supposed to.
No, you're not. You're supposed to get strong yourself. What have you done for God this year?
Well, I just barely made it to church on time. You're going to go over there and change that whole operation?
Wake up. Get a cup of tea.
God told me what?
We have that tape series called How to Distinguish God's Voice. Somebody told me,
God told me to go down and get a haircut and witness to the barber. It's just one problem.
I said, what's that?
When I got there, the barber shop was closed. Can you tell me why he sent me down there?
I said, I sure can.
Well, why did he?
I said, he didn't.
Oh, yes, he did.
I said, he did not.
Well, somebody walked by on the street and I jumped out and witnessed to him.
You could do that anytime.
He didn't.
I particularly like to be able.
He's sending me to this city. I'm going to cause revival.
You are?
Yes.
Then they go to the city and miserably fail, and they come back and say, can you tell me why I failed? I said, sure, because he didn't send you.
Well, he did, too.
Oh, isn't that something? You're too weak to do it, and he's going to send you. Mm-hmm. How to distinguish God's voice in the three different ways he communicates with his children. The first prominent, foremost, is the inner witness. Now, of course, he communicates by speaking to you in your spirit directly. And, of course, he communicates by vision, when he speaks to you on the inside, and then by revelation. Now, besides the inner witness, by revelation. By revelation is you just walking along, you know, going somewhere to do nothing, know nothing. All of a sudden, God downloads a revelation, either a mystery of Christ or a direction. Or how to take your business from the bottom to the top, depending on your call. How to win in this situation. He'll download a computer chip with the whole revelation, and then send it over to your spirit, and then release the program at once. And all of a sudden, by revelation, you don't know how, but you know what to do. Well, I know what to do. Because he went off on the inside. God loves to communicate by revelation. He loves because your spirit operates in his class. And if he can communicate to you by revelation, then he can say a whole 2 or 3 months of things in a milligram of a second. You have that capacity to understand. Sometimes in 3 seconds, a revelation will pass through my spirit just like that. And it'll take me 2 months to preach it out. Sometimes 2 months. So he loves to communicate by revelation. Because that way he just, then you'd know 2 or 3 months worth in a second. You know direction. You know what to do about your business. About your marriage. And possibly even about your unforgiveness. Hallelujah. Now, he does communicate directly just by speaking to you at your own speed, in your own language, but he doesn't prefer that. He prefers over that by revelation. And he only usually does the other in a quick word of knowledge or something. Have you ever saw Taxi, the sitcom from years ago? The burnout hippie from the 60s? You know, he's a burnout hippie from the 60s. So he was going to take his chauffeur's test to get a license to drive a taxi. So Danny DeVito and all his friends went with him. So he gets over in the restricted area at the booth where you take the test, and he's sharpening the pencil with his teeth going. So he's marking them down. All of a sudden he gets to a yellow light. And he didn't know what a yellow light was for, so he goes, "Hey, what's a yellow light?" And Danny DeVito, he goes, "It means slow down." He goes, "What is a yellow light?" And then Danny DeVito goes, "No, no, no, you idiot, it means slow down." And he goes, God can do that, you know. He can stop and put the whole universe on hold and appear in your room and go, but he prefers but I can tell you this about your leadership. You're worth a whole lot more to God than an impulse you're not too sure of.
Should I do it? Should I not?
And the next day you're more confused than the day before.
Should I? Should I not?
It's weak tomorrow, then it feels a little stronger, then weak again. You're worth a whole lot more to Him than an impulse that comes and goes. Direction grows like a tree. All you have to do is keep watering it. You're allowed mistakes. The worst kind is the kind that really cost you. But if you wait for the tree to grow, because if you're not sure about anything, then don't do it. Just wait until that direction grows. Well, I'm in crisis. You think God doesn't know that? He'd probably like to work on what got you in. I've often thought, what am I going to say to God? Especially in the excuse department. Now, I'd hate to put a load on somebody that's too heavy for them to carry around or anything. But on the other hand, with most people, then you just can't talk about victory. Okay, not most people. A few people. I'm talking about most that you try to talk to. Sometimes people say, "Don't condemn me, don't condemn me." I think, are you looking for the word conviction? If you're blatantly sinning, I got a right to say, he doesn't like that. Somebody says, "Don't judge me, don't judge me." Yeah, but how do I run from the bad fruit falling off your tree? How does a guy talk about the real kind of victory that's available without going out there and talking about what brings the victory? See, God loves to work on problems by showing you how to abort them before you get the kind of problems that we're responsible for causing ourselves. So a lot of his leadership and things will deal with those kind of things. He tries to fellowship with you at the beginning of any problem. Now, I love it when he does this. This is why I can say direction is more like a tree. And even though you come to a crisis and you didn't know what to do through it, but if you're still waiting on him and worshiping in him and waiting for the direction to grow, however direction that it takes, you can know that God can stop in after, in the middle, any time, and fix all of it. You have to trust him to know that he can do that. But far as his direction goes, your life is really important to him. He loves you. And he doesn't condemn you for failing. He likes it if you would go to school on the failure, though. Say, what can I do different next time? He likes it when you do that. But as far as his direction goes, your life means everything to him, and it'll keep growing like a tree and growing like a tree as long as you're nourishing and fellowshipping with him. After the man got saved, he says, "What does it feel like?" He said, "Two dogs are fighting. Good dog, bad dog." He said, "Well, who's winning?" He says, "The dog that I feed." I love it. Hallelujah. Well, personally, I love the communication that's by revelation. But even more than that, I walk in the inner witness. The inner witness takes place in your conscience. It's your truest and best friend in any step in the wrong direction. I love that inner witness. See, the Holy Ghost, he bears witness in your conscience. If you say, he is truth. He is the ultimate of conscience. He already is all those things. But for you, he bears witness in your conscience. The problem with people who sear their conscience is he has nothing to use to bear witness in. When a person begins the singeing process, most of it's done over money. At the end justifies the means. Look how much I'm doing for God. Yes, and I'm looking at the ethics you're using to do it. And I choose to die to that kind of program. Hallelujah. But generally, the searing process goes on slowly, desensitized, just a small singeing at a time. When they talk about searing, in Bible days, they were talking about you losing something and putting your eyes out, not just a cauterizing of a wound. They're talking about losing the use of the eyes from searing them or other things. So when you lose the use of your conscience, you've lost the closest and best friend you can have for any step in the wrong direction. Whew. Well, I have some real good news for you. Anybody that prays habitually in the Holy Spirit is going to have a hard time getting your conscience off your back. You're just going to have a real hard time. Somebody says, "I tried that praying in tongues." Can you tell me exactly what you do it? And sometimes they'd tell me, then later I'd find out they didn't have the benefit of it because they didn't do it. Now one man, he just baffled, and I just wondered about him for 14 years. And then when his operation got under my nose where I could scrutinize it, boy, did the mystery clear up absolutely in the first 6 months. He wasn't doing it. He lived a long ways off so he could say he was when he wasn't. Nobody can turn the Holy Spirit loose purposely in your spirit without him. changing and going after everything that is against God's plan for your life, His direction, your call, and the equipping of it. And if you're dead in conscience, He'll take that dry tongue you got, and that'll be the first thing He'll bring you out of, so you'll start coming back alive unto God.
You mean I can pray just dry as cracker juice? Some of you have proven that.
Hallelujah.
Well, I don't feel nothing.
Doesn't make any difference. You're not the one ordering what you're saying either. Doesn't matter how dry your prayer is that you're praying out of your spirit, as long as it is being authored by God. Because it's not the feelings you add to it, how up you feel or how down you feel, that changes the content of what you're praying when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. What if I pray 3 hours? Then you're going to work 3 hours of something Jesus prayed for you out in your life.
What if I pray only 5 minutes?
Then you'll have 5 minutes worth. What if I pray an hour? You'll have an hour's worth.
What if I tape praying in tongues and play it all night?
Then you'll repeat the same thing all night and God will answer the first time. I've been asked all those questions. Will it build me up if I just play it? I said, well, the only way that you're praying in tongues builds you up immediately is if He can answer it immediately, or you get the interpretation, or He brings it to pass in your life. Otherwise, you just pray on, because God's working it out in His time. If you've got a dead conscience, that's the first thing you'll wake up. Things will start bothering. What's it called? Edification. You know what I thought edification was? To get high, feeling praying in the Holy Ghost, feeling good, getting high, but leaving the rest of my life alone. I was a sad, pathetic, poor creature. He didn't leave the rest of me alone. I started praying in tongues. He started working with my conscience, working with me. In fact, everything that could hinder the coming to pass, the fulfilling of the plan of God in my life, He went after it. He'll make somebody out of you that can't settle down in a city like Tulsa without believing for the whole thing. You got a strange affliction. You can't just settle for a new car or something. Strange affliction. You want the whole city. Hallelujah. Is anybody getting edified? So mortification takes place in three realms: spirit, soul, and body. Body, filthiness of flesh, drinking, smoking, chewing. Going with girls that do those things. Soul, hatreds, emulation, strifes. Whew. I told one of my sons, I says, whew, I know how you feel about that person now. One day you're going to pray yourself to a place where you'd do anything to keep from blocking them from coming into the kingdom. Anything. Emulations, hatred, strife. Ooh, but the third area he goes for. Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit. Cleansing yourself from all filthiness of flesh. And the spirit. Perfecting holiness.
What's filthiness of spirit?
Don't get excited. Your righteousness is not as filthy rags. I know that. Your righteousness is from Him. Heaven's your home. You're in right standing. Translated out of darkness into light.
What's filthiness of spirit then?
Wrong believing. There is no dead limb doctrine that's going to survive a habitual, fervent prayer life in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because praying in tongues, bottom line, is a revelation gift. I just love people that'll come here for a season. They say,
I'm going to come for 6 months,
and go back to my church. And so then move down for 6 months to a year, then go back.
Brother Roberson?
Yeah.
My pastor's changed. He's not preaching like he used to.
I said, oh, sweetie pie, he's preaching the same.
You changed.
After my first year of prayer, I went to visit my old tent people that are great big. I've been in A.A. Allen's. I've been in Catherine Coleman's meetings. Whew. Just love those kind of atmospheres, discharged. And then I've been in all those guys who put the little tents up and preach that pure holiness because nobody else wanted to listen. And the holiness they preach was mostly clothes. You would go in thinking you was going to heaven and leave knowing you weren't. Looking for things to give up. I remember when the holiness preacher got our wedding rings. I went, boy, I paid them off 20 a month too. It's in my 20s. $20 a month and gave it to Rosalie. And we went through this tent meeting. And he was preaching and he's packing his tent up and throwing it on his truck and trailer. I said, what'd you in a hurry for? Because I had a vision of Los Angeles falling off into the ocean. It was falling in behind my truck. What did you do? I ran with the rest of the people. Boy, you should have heard him preach. I want you to know how. This woman clutched her purse. And people was giving by the prophecy and inspiration of God. And she clutched. She held on to her purse. When they told her to give her house and her car, she held on to her purse. And finally she slumped and fell over her purse dead. The usher said, the woman died hanging on to her purse. Let her go. Take her out. I don't want that unholy money. My God. Pulled Rosalie's rings off and ran to the altar and threw them down. Not much hope for a guy like me. My run ended in Oregon. Thank God I got isolated where I couldn't find anybody that preached that way. So I went out and sat in my car at 2 in the morning and got that renegade station from Old Mexico, and the same guy was on it and continued to scare me. Like I thought you'd think a guy had enough. I couldn't find anybody, you know, after a while. Had nowhere to go, no teacher. Tried to call my old pastor and ask him something, and he didn't know. So I was out there isolated, alone. So one day I had this vision. Didn't know nothing, holiness. Whew. One time Earl Hitchin, I was doing a prayer meeting with a bunch of charismatics, and I was ultra holiness. And I was sitting there listening to these ladies and Earl teaching. I'm not moved by what I see, hear, or feel. I am only moved by what I believe. And I take the word of God as the final say-so in my life. And I looked at what he was reading. I waited for him to leave. And I re-taught those poor people. I said, well, I don't think a religion without feelings in it is worth much. But I had no place to go. So when I had the vision and went full-time, I didn't know what to do. So I went down to the church and locked myself up in a little 8x8. Then I prayed all the English I could think of every morning for the first 5 or 6 minutes. And exhausted my knowledge. 5 minutes. Okay. Couldn't think of anything else to say. Get holy.
So I ended up spending the other 6-7 hours praying in tongues. Little did I know who that would change. After breaking out of the closet, 3 or 4 or 5 months, I ran down to a tent meeting 30 miles away to reacquaint with my old friends. They were cutting their tent up, selling pieces of it and their shirts and wallets that never run out of money. And splinters from the cross. Holy, holy Israel water. So they was doing all these things I grew up with. And I was sitting back there trying to get excited. But already the anointing in me, which is truth and can't lie, had been built up to a place that it was shutting me down. And so they're saying, "And who will give $200 for this little piece?" Now, I preached in this shirt all last week and it was dripping with the sweat of the anointing. $200 just for a gift of $200. Usually I was the first one up there with the milk money. So I was trying to get excited under preaching. Glory! Everybody's screaming and shouting, waving their fists, and here I am. Glory! And I couldn't work it up, conjure it up. Little did I know he was shutting me down. What did you do? Inoculated myself against deception. Because he started tracking the limbs of wrong believing down, displacing and replacing. Whew. So everything that is in your path, because what did he say in Romans 8, 26 or even 25, even 24, even 23. Us to have the first fruits grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption process to be made complete at the redemption of our body. But we're saved in hope. In hope of what? In hope of a glorified body. But meanwhile, see, we're saved in hope. In hope that is seen, what do we yet hope for? But if we see for that we hope not, we do with patience wait for it. But look who he gave you to wait with. Likewise, the Spirit helps your infirmities, inabilities imposed on you by this flesh. Don't know how to praise you. Say, excuse me, step aside, because I got God's whole plan for you. Let me pray it out. You're saved in hope of a glorified body. But meanwhile, I am your man. Somebody's been sent here to help you. Likewise, he helps what? When you're saved in hope of a new heaven, a new earth, and a glorified body. But likewise, when you're still here, says the Spirit helps our infirmities, our weaknesses. Don't know how to pray as we ought. But he steps in with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that knows the mind, the entire plan of God, he said mind of the Spirit. Why didn't he say plan? Because in each dispensation, God has a mind for that dispensation and the people that live in it. So not only does the Holy Spirit know the whole plan from beginning to end, but he knows his mind for your generation, for your call, for your church, for your city, and that enables him to make intercession for you according to the will of God. Then that classical verse, then we can know all things will work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So what did we do? We went from the Holy Spirit knowing his plan, making intercession for you individually, fulfilling that plan because the Holy Spirit knows where that plan fits and the overall purpose of God. And when the Holy Ghost is working the plan of God in your life, it'll start into the overall purpose. Then you can know all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Whew. What would happen if I came in here like a Saturday morning, just
worshipped him for an hour or two and spent the day praying in tongues. The mind of Christ would be loose to begin to order that plan, even if it included your mortification. It included your wrong believing. If you was in a wheelchair, maybe it would include you getting out of the chair so you could go on and do the rest of what you have to do. The one thing, there is no mountain high enough. I heard that somewhere. Somebody was saying it. I did not say that. Somebody told me. There is no valley low enough. When the mind of Christ guided the prayer, you better watch out and take an act of rebellion on your part not to find it. Isn't Jude wonderful? Jude 19 and 20 and 21 are foundational truths. These be they who are essential, sense-ruled, not having the Spirit. These are they who separate themselves, sensual, sense-ruled, not having the Spirit. And he changes to you and I. But you, beloved, yes, you're not putting us in the same class with the sense-ruled, separated ones who have not the Spirit. In the 20th verse, he says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the... Well, if the previous verse said sensual, separate themselves, having not the Spirit, and then the next verse says, no, not you. You have the Spirit. You can build yourself up. So it must be up above the mess that they're involved in. Building yourselves up on your most holy, God kind, obtained, only way you can get it, faith. Up above what? Sensual, dominated, moved by what I see, hear, and feel more than I am Him and His Word. Build myself up above that mess, praying in the Holy Ghost. Boy, I like the next one. And keeping yourself in the love of God. 21. Can't leave that out. Keeping yourself in the love of God. You talk about somebody seizing on your new nature, edifying it, bringing it forward, and every dark controlling area in your life is going to be flooded. Did you know I said all that whole message I just preached to you one time in 1 minute? We like to warm up to things. They were for 1 minute teachings, and it went something like this. There was nothing but streak dirt marks on the wall where I tried to hit the light switch. As I walked forward in the room, the sickening crunching sound under my feet, waving my arm back and forth looking for the pull cord. When I pulled it and the light came on, all the little creatures of the night ran for the cover of darkness. El cacorocho. Except for the trail that were under my feet. So it is with praying in tongues. Each level of edification, the little creatures of darkness will be exposed so you can deal with them. Sure, yeah. So what did he say in the book of Jude? He said, these be they who separate themselves. Who's the they? The clouds without water, waves of the sea raging and foaming to their own shame, and shooting stars. What's he talking about? The shooting stars come out of darkness in a blaze of glory, really put on quite a show, but as quick as they appear, they disappear back into the darkness they came out of. Waves of the sea raging and foaming to their own shame, they come, a wave out of the sea of people, really put on a good show, and disappear back into the wave they came out of. Clouds without water. Man, that cloud is coming over the horizon. It looks good. Carries promise. Oh, my, my. Gets overhead. It's time for rain. There's just one problem. It can't produce. It's a cloud without water. Well, you know as well as I do, the one thing he likens to water from Revelation back to the book of Genesis. If you believe on me, as the scripture says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Clouds without water look good, sound good, can't produce because they don't have any water. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I can just see somebody, if they visited 15 years ago and they revisited today, they'd say,
he hasn't changed nothing.
I particularly like 1 Corinthians 13 and 1.
Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not a love, L-U-B. Though I speak tongues of men and angels and have not a love, I become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbals, and it profits me nothing.
So your great astounding exegesic professionals,
you can pray in tongues all you want, but if you don't walk in love, it will do you no good.
They just defeated the whole purpose. What if you're real ugly and can't help it? What if you're real mean, don't know how to stop?
Well, he says, well, you can speak with tongues all you want if you don't walk in love.
It didn't say that. What it said is you're capable of being filled and speaking with tongues, but take him hostage and lock him up all your life where he can do nothing, no miracles, be mean as a snake, even the preacher, they'll throw his mic at you just because it squealed. You can be really, really mean and still have the Holy Spirit and speak with tongues. But the one thing that man will not and cannot do, habitually pray in it and stay the same. Yes, sir. For I take this service today. Yes, I'm speaking to you. Yes, I know your heart. And I know you've been wounded. Hear what the Spirit would say. The good shepherd will leave the 99 and search in the wilderness for that one that's lost. And when I find what I need to search with, to speak with, and to manifest my will and my mind in a service, then I'll use these things. And if necessary, I'll put the 99 on hold and go after you. For the Lord would say to you, you think that I do not know your heartbreak? You think I do not know what you were put through at the hands of those who call themselves believers? But in all this, I did none of those things to you. For it was I that stood always in the perimeters of love and waited for you to give me my chance in your life. Even as this day, I speak these things to you that you might take your first step out of these. For all that you've been called for is waiting for you. And all that I'm willing to set into motion for you is still ready. So hear what the Spirit would say and come to me this morning that I may do these things for you and fill you with my Spirit. Nokadiske lobodekwade. Nokiniske. Would all of you just stand for a minute? Now we know why he thought it more important to talk about this than he did even
not eating. For hear what the Spirit would say. For many of you are past a time of change, which has been measured by what you've become accountable for and how well you have known me at one time. Therefore, because that many are choosing to come up higher, that ushering in is a realm of the Spirit that not many have seen before. For many things cannot go over there with you. And for those who will not let me mortify and separate you from those things, will simply stay back with them. For all that I am is available to anyone at all times. For my grace, it is sufficient. See, hear what the Spirit would say. How do I word that? Okay. He is only speaking to those who have made a deliberate decision to walk where you're walking and are equipped and already know better. He wants you to know that things are changing faster. And don't be caught unaware. However, any time after it all begins, you want to grab hold and enter in, He'll be there for you. The devil is making an overall play to try to get this next place. God is wanting to bring the whole church in general and to board it. So he's making a strong, strong play to stop people. And so a lot are giving in to things they thought they were stronger than they are. And at a time when God is soliciting your help to stand on the perimeter and enter in is not a good time to abort. Yet some of those things cannot go over with you. So there was something to do with reward for helping God win on this level and not doing it and getting in later. I don't know how exactly to word it, but that's as close as I can get in the understanding that I received. I understand that. He's particularly just talking to the people that are wholly accountable and know exactly what to do about where they're walking. Better imagine.